The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life, drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm absolutely delighted that you could join me. We have a really great show about the natural occurring event that happens to each and every one of us called death. No matter who you are, you're going to go through this phenomenon. And as usual, we strive to bring you this information to relieve you of the fear of the unknown. If by chance you are listening to the show at this precise moment, you need to understand that you are vibrating at the same frequency in which to gain the precise information that you are desiring to know. As we have learned from listening to Anita Morjani about her near-death experience and her spontaneous remission, and as well as many more scientific and medical community experts such as Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Bernie Siegel and of course Dr. Jeffrey Long and his near-death experiences library. We have learned that the medical community is slowly awakening to the theory that there is no such thing as death. We simply just go to another realm, a parallel universe other than this current 3D world that we are experiencing. And that's why I'm bringing on Dr. Ken Stoller, MD, who was a metaphysician first before he became a medical doctor, and who edited the most incredible award-winning book called My Life Afterlife. This book was written by his son Galen, who died at a railroad accident. Now, this is a powerful show, and I think you're going to be surprised at the information that Galen is conveying to you from the other side. So I want you to sit back, relax, and continue to drive or exercise. Just listen, learn, and expand. We'll be right back after these few words from our sponsor.
Need help realizing your dreams? As a hypnotherapist specializing in the law of attraction, Jules Johnson can help you to break through your critical mind into your manifested dream. Get started today by going to lawofattractiontools.com. Set up a personal Skype video or phone session. Law of Attraction Tools is there to help you turn your desires into reality. That's lawofattractiontools.com. You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Okay, we're back. Now, speaking of Law of Attraction Radio Network, we've got some brand new shows that you need to know about. The first one I really want to let you know about is coming live from the United Kingdom, Marie Diamond of the Marie Diamond Show. Now, she was the featured speaker of The Secret movie and the book, and she has helped many well-known celebrities change their lives by using feng shui principles. She had her premiere show last week, and after I listened, I completely changed my office and wall hangings. And boy, what a difference that makes. Check her out every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific, or if you're listening over in Europe, it's 7 p.m. in the UK. Now, if you want, you can call up Marie from a phone in the U.S. or by your computer and personally ask her about an issue that you need to change, and she will help you. She truly is special, and oh, I'm so thrilled she's on the network. And while you're browsing around Law of Attraction Radio Network, visit all of our shows because they are here to help you raise your vibration to a much better feeling place. Each one has a message for you, your friends, or your family members. Come on, pass the word and let's use our collective consciousness to shift the world into being a safe and abundant planet. Our latest cruise is happening next week, and as usual, I'm taking the Red Jewel box along with me so that everyone can energize their dreams and desires. If you would like to submit your intention to be placed in the Red Jewel box, just send me an email with your written out intention to jewels@loaradionetwork.com, and I will personally place your intention and your desires in the Red Jewel box. Have your family and friends do this as well. You know, my friend Sandy Swartz, who's the host of the Leading Edge Parenting Show, tells a wonderful story about the first time we went on the cruise, and she decided to put in the Red Jewel box her desire for a red Mercedes. Well, well, that was 2 years ago, and do you know what? She is driving around in a beautiful red Mercedes. I see it every Sunday at the Law of Attraction Spiritual Center, and wow, all I can say is she knows how to manifest. The Red Jewel box is just the place to start your manifestation. So send me your dreams and desires and we will energize them on the Pacific Ocean on a highly auspicious, favorable day of the cruise. By the way, please sign up for our free newsletters and updates by going to loaradionetwork.com as well. And not only do I tell you about the upcoming shows and all of the shows on the network, I send out notices for the abundance checks during the 24 hours of the new moon so that you can't forget to write out your checks. This is so much fun. There's something about writing out or drawing out your desires that really makes a huge difference in manifesting. And I don't want you to miss out on any opportunity for you to prove to yourself how magnificent you are. Now let's talk to our guest tonight, Ken Stoller, MD. Dr. Stoller has the Hyperbaric Oxygen Clinic of Sacramento and New Mexico, and is well known internationally for his work in this particular area. As you will hear, Dr. Stoller started out as a metaphysician and then went on to medical school, and I'm so glad he did. It appears this could have been the reason why his wonderful son Galen was born to him to begin with. There are two books that we are going to be talking about tonight. One is My Life After Life, and the second one is called Life Chapters, Extraordinary Afterlives of People You've Never Heard Of, and that book is coming out this month. Both are written by Galen after his death from a train accident. So I want you to get ready to be amazed. Welcome, Dr. Stoller, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am so thrilled that you could join us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start by talking about your wonderful son, Galen, and what happened that started everything.
Galen transitioned on a windy December 1st day in 2007. At an unguarded railroad crossing near his mom's house in Roe, New Mexico. So there are no lights or wooden guard levers. So it was just a stop sign and was sort of an obscure corner where it was hard to see what was coming around the corner. And if you've had any experience watching trains approach you, they can be quite silent until they're right on top of you, and that's what happened. Galen never saw the train, and I know that because Galen told me he never saw the train. So that's how the transition happened.
Okay.
And my first contact with him was that night because I had been working with a trance medium for several years back in the 1990s. Because I was a member of the UCLA Parapsychology Lab, way back in the early 1970s. So that was part of my background, and I've always, you know, been interested in trance mediums. And she put me in touch with Galen that night, a very confusing conversation that was outside of linear time. But a few days later, I got a message from Susie Ward, who's the Matthew Ward's mother, who's most known for the books on heaven and the afterlife, and they have a website, Messages from Matthew. And he had gotten in contact with Galen and delivered a message to me. And that evening, I had a dream of, this was like 10 days after the event, I had a dream of fond memories of Galen all strung together in a montage with a Broadway song running underneath it. And Galen had just come back from New York after seeing 9 Broadway plays. That's what he wanted to do, is become a Broadway actor. He also trained assistance dogs for Assistance Dogs of the West. But although distraught when I first woke up from this dream, I knew it was from Galen because of the Broadway tune that was running underneath it, which was Robert Goulet singing, "If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer." And then fast forward to the end of the month, I actually got my first full message from Galen, which was sort of a glib rhetorical comment saying, "What age would you have preferred that I died?" Of course, there was no answer one could give to that, and I didn't have one. But it was also something that told me that was not something for my own brain. That was never something I would have thought of. And beneath that sentence was Fagin singing from the musical Oliver, "I am reviewing the situation," which was the grand finale. Galen was supposed to be playing Fagin in a few weeks with his teen theater group here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So that's how it all started.
Oh, it's wonderful. Now, how long of a period of time before you started writing the book?
Well, I started journaling because my normally intense inner life became even more intense. And so as a sort of half effort to hold on to my sanity, I was journaling, and I would go to work, and then I would come home and literally spend the entire evening journaling every single night. And I created perhaps 2,000 pages of journal. And about 2 years later, Galen asked me how the book was coming along, and I surprisingly said, "Book? There's no book. I have a 2,000 page journal that no one will ever read, and if they do, it would require such intense editing. I can't imagine, you know, having the time to do that." And he said, "That's your book. I don't care about your book. I'm talking about my book." And I go, "Huh? What?" And that's how, in his humorous way, I found out that he wanted me to write down his experiences on the other side so that he could share them with everyone, as well as having a project with me, because he said, "This will be the beginning of the Death Walker series books." And the second book actually comes out next month. My Life After Life, a posthumous memoir, became the first book.
Uh-huh. And Life Chapters is the next book. And that's really unique in that you are told by Galen all of the stories of the people who have passed. And it's really great stories. Truly a great way to understand what goes on in the other realm. And what I noticed through the book, especially in Life's Chapters, is that when we transition, we go into classrooms to start adapting and learning. It's like we just don't stop learning while we're here on Earth. We progress and learn in other classrooms on the other side.
Right, and Galen likes to make the point that often people lose sight of the fact why they're on Earth in the first place, which is part of why Earth is here, because you lose sight of a lot of things when you enroll in the Earth dimension. so to speak, but it is a spiritual classroom, and if you become more conscious of that and start becoming more conscious of the lessons that are being offered on Earth, you can participate with the Earth experience in a more expansive way. So that's one of the underlying messages that Galen would like to get out there.
I love it. Now, what one of the experiences I read I just thought was so wonderful is that Galen actually has his own little home with his own little TVs and everything on that other dimension. Is that correct?
Right. Galen, when he first transitioned, created a sense of safety for himself by surrounding himself with things that he was familiar with. Not everyone does that. His experience is uniquely his own, but that's what he did. So he created a home for himself that he was felt very comfortable in an area of near a redwood forest that he found very beautiful, and so that was available to him.
And he also had, when he first transitioned, this wonderful rescue dog who he didn't know in this life, but the dog actually became like his teacher. And again, from what I've read, sometimes the dogs come to people in the other life as a comfort.
Right. So there's a chapter in the second book, which comes out next month, called All Dogs Go to Heaven, Sort of. And there you learn that if you are not complete with a pet that you have had, it doesn't have to be a dog, could be a cat or a horse, if you are not emotionally complete with that animal, you will find that animal there waiting for you when you cross over. Andy, which was the name of the search and rescue dog that joined up with Galen right away, was not a previous pet of his, but a very special dog in the sense there was more than just dog there. There was a very advanced teacher working with that dog in the consciousness of that dog. So I won't say anything more and give away the book, but that was Galen's experience.
Fantastic. And everything about this has really opened my eyes. The bottom line for he's trying to tell us that we shouldn't be fearful of death, that it's just another dimension. Is there anything that we should be learning about? Should we not be taking life so seriously?
In a sense, there is no death. Yes, the physical body, the shell, the vehicle that we're using in the Earth dimension, that obviously dies and recycles itself eventually. But our consciousness was there before we came into this body, and the consciousness is there when we leave it, and there's no destroying it. So it continues on, and our lessons continue on, and our evolution continues on, and we need to really become more conscious about that.
Good.
Because it will change the way we interact with each other and our environment.
Now, Dr. Stoller, you are a medical doctor. And for you, how did it start that you were understanding or you wanted to know more about the metaphysics of what's going on in our lives?
Well, I was a member of the original parapsychology lab, now long disbanded, at the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute in the early 70s. So this has always been an avocation for me. Even before I entered medical school, because I was an undergraduate at UCLA. So my area that I focused in at the lab was investigating trance mediums, and that's how I met up with Audrey Rinkles, a very talented trance medium, and learned that she had her guides had the ability to hook up with people who were having difficulties transitioning from the Earth dimension to the other side, and it was through her guides that I first spoke with Galen the night he transitioned. So this has been a lifelong interest of me. I know it would make a more interesting story or movie if this was something I was always very skeptical about and didn't believe in, but in a sense you have to understand your belief system is what allows you to have more expansive or more limited experiences depending on your belief. So although it would make a better story, in truth, one doesn't have experiences one can't believe can happen.
Well, actually, I find you quite refreshing in that you already knew about metaphysics prior to going into medical school. So I think this is wonderful. I wish more doctors would do it. You have developed something or discovered a drug in which helps people go through the intense grief of losing someone. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I don't like to call it a drug, although you need a prescription for it. It is a natural hormone, and it's called oxytocin. And most people are familiar with it because a synthetic version of it called pitocin is used to induce labor in women who are delivering babies. But this hormone, which is often called the love hormone or the trust hormone, what it essentially does is it blocks fear, panic, and anxiety into the emotional centers of the brain. And I found out by the end of the first month after Galen had transitioned that I was literally starting to have post-traumatic stress disorder from the high intensity of grief that I was having. And I realized I had something in my arsenal, my medical armamentarium, that could help me, because I had been using oxytocin to treat brain-injured patients as they're healing through hyperbaric oxygen, which is what my medical practice is about. Sometimes they get very anxious or start having obsessive thoughts, obsessive negative thoughts, and the oxytocin stops that process. So I made the discovery that this hormone also helps people who are having intense acute grief. And I've written a book called Oxytocin, the Hormone of Healing and Hope, which one can find on Amazon.com. And this book explains how you use this hormone for treating grief and other things like addictions and sexual dysfunctions. And people don't know about it. Physicians don't really know about it, because unless there's a pharmaceutical company making big bucks behind it, right, you just don't find out about things.
Right. But so you can somehow get this and take it if you're having extreme grief?
Well, it doesn't help you if you're a geek. But
Greek. I mean grief.
unless you're a geek with grief. Yes, it will. Yes, it has helped every one of the patients I have treated who are having grief. And it doesn't stop you from processing grief. If anything, it helps you process grief in a more healthy way, because you can do it without the obsessive negative thoughts that normally happen during when you've lost a close loved one.
Now, I had heard you say that when the grief process sometimes is so intense, it actually blocks you from having those metaphysical experiences of actually feeling that person or getting communication going from the other side. Is that correct?
Right. It's an irony that at the very time that you need to have a clear channel of communication is the time that you have this grief taking place, and grief and fear will interfere with the ability to communicate to this other dimensional level called the other side. So one of the first things that happened to me when I made contact with Galen was that my grief intensified, paradoxically, because people would think, gee, you've heard from your son, that would, you know, you would think that would be a wonderful event that would have helped your grief. It made it worse. And I realized that somehow, subconsciously, I had made an agreement to release my grief at an accelerated pace. So years of grief were being released every month that went by. But it was so intense for me. I knew what was happening. I was starting to have PTSD. And that's when I realized I knew, because of my practice, my medical practice where I had used this hormone oxytocin, I said, I need this myself. And that's where I found that to be so helpful for me in releasing all the negative aspects of intense grief.
Wow.
I started a website like the month after Galen passed called www.griefsos.com, and it's still up, and people can go to griefsos.com. It can't be easier than that to remember, and they can learn about using oxytocin on that website.
Oh, fantastic. Actually, I do know of a few people, I think we all do, of people who are suffering and are trying to understand their loss and the pain that they're going through. Some people can go through the grief process within 3 months, and others it takes years to get through it. So how do you know when you need to have additional help in getting through the grief?
Well, I called what I started going through pathological grief, because the negative obsessions became so intense, they became their own entity. They took on a life of their own. I couldn't stop thinking about these negative obsessions, such as, what if I had been there? What if I had been able to help him? Oh, you know, over and over again. And you can't shut those voices off. You're fractured. You're emotionally fractured. So part of you is out there screaming these negative obsessions at you. And what the oxytocin does is block that voice. If I wanted to think about the train accident, I could. If I didn't want to think about it, it faded away. And that was the difference, because before it would not fade away, and it was incapacitating. So that's how you know when you need something like oxytocin.
Okay, that's good to know. Now let's get back to the book, My Life After Life. You know, this is such a great read. You just can't put the book down. And in it, there's a whole bunch of wonderful pictures of Galen, and then of Andy. I particularly loved the one of Andy, who befriended Galen on his arrival on the other side. Galen then goes on and talks about life's chapters. There are some extraordinary deaths that occur. I remember one in particular that was so traumatic. This poor young girl who was victimized and traumatized and was so fearful of what happened to her. Even she had to have a parrot or a bird on top of her shoulder to protect her, to make her feel comfortable. Could you go into that story a little bit? It's fascinating.
So this is from the second book, which comes out next month,
right?
Life Chapters, Extraordinary Afterlives of People You've Never Heard Of. And in this chapter called Monica, Galen crosses paths with a gal in her early 20s who had been raped and murdered. And she was healing, and she had been given two animals, or she thought they were animals, but they were much more than animals. One was a parrot that sat on her shoulder, and one was a cat. And the parrot was on her shoulder, and she was holding on to the cat, and Galen would come. She would always be in the same place every day. Galen would see her staring at a tree, as if she, you know, she were a mannequin that someone had wheeled out into the field. And he would come and talk to her, or pretend he was talking to her animals, so she didn't think he was obsessing about her. And eventually he brought Andy to the search and rescue dog that he worked with there on the other side to her, and you could see this healing process taking place for her. So that was one of the chapters in this new book that comes out next month.
Wow. When people are on the other side, are they reaching out to comfort the loved ones that they left behind, or how does that work? Or do they just not even want to be bothered with us and go forward on the other side?
Well, Galen would tell you that most people at his dimensional station, because there are many levels and layers to the other side, just like there's levels and layers on Earth, even though we're all basically hunkered into the third dimension here on Earth, and on the other side there's many levels and layers, and they're energetically separated from each other. But at his dimensional station, almost everyone makes an effort to contact those that loved ones that have been left behind. And it can be very frustrating, of course, because people's misunderstanding of what that contact is all about. So, yes?
Well, I was just wondering, what can we do to make it easier for them? Just simply think about them? Is there a technique or something that we need to consider?
Well, I mean, it's hard because at the very time where this communication is to take place is also the very time we're least emotionally able to receive it because of the grief or fear or things like that. But I'm hoping that after Galen's second book becomes more widely read, that there will be a palpable need understood to really assist not just those who are in transition, but family members who are left behind, that how important it is to be open to communication from the other side. And it is as simple as just saying, I'm going to be open to communication with this person, and you hold them in your heart and you will make a link with them. It is that easy. And you may be surprised that night when you go to bed, you'll have a dream of, I had a dream about them. Of course I had a dream about them. I was thinking about them. No, it's more than that. And not everyone is obviously going to be able to have the level of communication I've had with Galen. But whether it's a song, whether it's some minor acknowledgement in a dream, this is important to important both to those who have transitioned to the other side, and it's important to us too, because eventually we will be going through this transition, and if we can be more conscious about the process, it assists us when it's our turn.
Wow, that's powerful. What happens, perhaps you can tell us, if a person is going through Alzheimer's, or is it true that they're already a step closer to the other dimension, or what is happening? And do they regain their consciousness when they transition?
Well, the personality, the persona of that person, once it crosses over, when you cross over to the other side, you do not suddenly have some kind of omnipotent awakening of consciousness. You are who you were before you crossed over. So there is a process, a transition period, where a very confused individual will slowly wake up to a wider reality. How long that takes for people is you know, based on factors that are individual to them. So, for example, Galen went to visit his maternal grandfather, who had died 8 months before Galen had crossed over, and he did have very, very severe dementia because of his diabetes. He became blind. It was a big medical problem. And there were still aspects of him that were quite confused. And he actually wanted me to tell him what had happened, even though others had told him. It's like, I need to hear it again. I need to hear it again from somebody I know, that I knew on Earth, that I trusted on Earth. So it's a process. So yes, you obviously wake up, but it's a process, and it's a gentle process. So no one gets shocked into anything on the other side.
Yeah, it seems like it's a very comforting place, and they go, it's like everything is directed to make the person who transitioned feel absolutely loved, appreciated, and safe.
Well, that's what happens when you live in a benevolent universe, because that benevolence is part of the operating system.
I wish that we could learn that on Earth and feel the same way. It's kind of like, you know, we are in our law of attraction working, identifying, and becoming powerful here on Earth right now. But it continues, actually, on the other side, because they, again, are finding out their power to create. Is that correct? Would you see that to be true?
Galen would tell you, the journey never ends. So really, it's not about the goal. It's not about the end point, because there is no end point. It is about where you are now, being conscious about how you are operating, where you find yourself in the present moment. Because you never finish. It keeps going. Yeah, I mean, yes, there are benchmarks. For example, yes, you go to college, you eventually get a degree. But anyone who's graduated from college will tell you that's not an end point. Mm-hmm. That's another beginning.
Exactly. So again, the lesson that we need to learn on Earth is to release the fear of death and to go ahead and explore.
Well, yes, because there is no death. You can't be scared of something that doesn't exist. Well, I suppose you can. There's always free will and choice. You can do whatever you want. If you want to be scared about something that doesn't exist, no one's going to stop you. But that doesn't change the truth, and the truth is our consciousness continues past the physical body.
Now, how do other MDs treat you? Are they in beginning to accept this, or are they still standing back with a 10-foot pole?
Well, no MDs have come up to me. None of my colleagues have come up to me and made any comments about the book. It's like it's a completely compartmentalized area of my life. So I don't bring it up if they don't bring it up. So they don't talk about it. And I have to tell you that the demographics of this book is women over 35 years of age. There are almost no men reading this book. And I don't think that's going to be any different for the whole series or life chapters or the third book when that comes out. It's getting edited now. So this is about women. This is a subject that apparently is only of interest to women. And men don't want to have to deal with it. Men don't want to talk about it.
Isn't that interesting that women are actually leading the way and becoming the teachers in which to bring comfort? Maybe perhaps that's been it all along, but they're not afraid of looking at the unknown, and it seems like some men are that. It's just the way their brain is wired.
Well, I mean, I've always thought that women were the most hardy members of the human species. And that doesn't mean physically stronger. I think they have a stronger immune system. I think they have the capability of being a more emotionally stronger than men. It's just the way that the two sexes are wired. That doesn't mean there aren't exceptions. As a general rule, women have to bear the children. And they are stronger. They live longer. And, you know, that speaks to not their physical strength or their physical size, but their potential to be energetically hardier than the male of the species.
Yeah, I have to agree. I've got to tell you, I loved Life Chapters. It gave me such an incredible insight into the other side. There is a story, if you wouldn't mind just talking about it a bit, Mr. Montpellier. How do you say that?
Montpellier. So in Life Chapters, which comes out next, in May of 2012, and which is, I guess, the month this show is first being aired, there's a chapter called Mr. Montpellier, and this was a fellow that Galen met in one of his classrooms, a very interesting fellow, because Galen noticed his leg was sort of cockeyed in an unusual direction, and he limped out of the classroom. And Galen started talking to him and found out that he had been one of the men who jumped out of a building during the 1929 stock market crash. And apparently, after you recover from your suicide, because suicides that are done out of hopelessness, out of despair, go through a very intense and structured period, a processing period. And so after you come out of that period, you agree to carry with you some remembrance that you had chosen poorly, so to say. And he chose to keep his leg in the position it had been twisted in when he landed on the pavement.
As a reminder.
As a reminder that he had other options available to him. And in fact, he said, had he remained on Earth, he would have been a teacher. He would have helped organize a new financial, the way, you know, finances were run in the United States. And he didn't do that. He cut himself off from that opportunity. So the thing about suicides are that if you see life as a bus, and you decide out of your free will and choice, out of despair and hopelessness, to jump out the window of that bus, and then you find out, well, there is no death, let me get on the next bus. You're not allowed on the next bus. You have to wait until that particular bus comes all the way around again and picks you up, and you kind of keep going in the direction that, you know, where that original bus was going to be taking you. The opportunities that suicides have when they choose to come back into the Earth incarnation is a little more restricted than other people, because they have to sort of continue on with their journey that they jumped out of the first time. Mm-hmm. So that, which is a very sobering thought.
Yeah.
Because if people knew that, they would definitely think twice about committing suicide. And one of my concerns about, you know, Galen's first book, My Life After Life, was that people were not going to believe what was in the book, but people with poor problem solving skills were going to believe it and said, oh, well, suicide's going to be, you know, an option to have experiences elsewhere because I'm not happy with what's happening on Earth right now. But Galen makes it very clear in the first book, as he does in the second book, that suicide is not a viable option for people.
You know, I'm glad you said that. That makes so much logical sense, and I fully comprehend what you're trying to say here. We are almost out of time, but I just want to thank you. I want to remind everyone to go to your website where they can purchase your book, and your website is?
The book website is mylifeafterlife.com with a dash between each word.
Okay.
And there's also deathwalkerseries.com, which is another website. And previously I had mentioned griefsos.com.
Where we can find out about that
Hormone oxytocin for treating grief.
Okay, good.
Exactly. So that, I think that's enough websites everyone should be able to get in touch with me through those websites or buy the book, whatever they want to do.
And I want to remind everybody, these books are fabulous in every way. Go out and get them. Learn about the next realm that we're all going to hit one time or another. We're going to get there. So understand it now. It's so important. Thank you, Dr. Kenneth Stoller. It's been a real fascinating show. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.